Investment advisor representatives of and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time for Building Rural Wealth, and we have with us this morning Dan Miller. Dan, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Nice to see you. How was the weekend?
It was good. It was a good weekend, and boy, the weather was nice. Man, I tell you, yesterday, that weather was just something else. Well, I know we set out for a little while yesterday evening, and after I mowed the yard, and oh my gosh, it was so nice.
It's beautiful. That's what it was.
Absolutely. And good big football weekend if you're a football fan, which I am, you know. And it was good. Hey, I got to ask you, I didn't look. How did Arkansas do?
They won.
Who'd they play?
Arkansas State.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right.
There you go. All right. Well, good deal.
The Red Wolves.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And it was at War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of something they do every year. But,
oh, yeah, that's kind of neat. Okay, good deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Hawkeye or Cyclone?
Well, you know.
Or neither.
I was talking to your daughter, and, you know, I said, you know, I'm kind of agnostic about that a little bit. I'm not a native Iowan, you know. And so, but I did grow up in the big, you know, following the Big 8 and then the Big 12. And so I'm probably more of a State fan. And Jackson went to Iowa State,
too.
Oh,
well, sure.
You know, so I helped pay tuition there, so you kind of got to support them, I guess.
Well, but, I guess so.
But whenever they're not playing each other, I absolutely support the Hawkeyes, too.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah, so.
Rachel Dorr with us. Rachel, how was your weekend?
Pretty good, Aaron, thanks.
Most exciting thing you did this weekend was what?
Well, we were talking about moving into the house, so that's great, but on top of that, our Riverside Bulldogs beat my alma mater, the Mount Air Raiders, on a Friday.
So that was kind of fun. So that was exciting, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
So you're a Raiderette.
I'm a Raiderette.
The Raiderette.
Yeah. So I was kind of cheering on the Raiders because, you know, once a Raider or Raiderette, always. But, you know, it was good to see some people from my hometown, but it was really kind of a sweet victory that the Bulldogs won.
There you go.
And you said it was a pretty close game. I mean,
it was
high scoring.
44 to 32.
Yeah.
High scoring. Wow.
Yeah, we had a pretty good running back. He did 422 yards. Actually.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Both of those teams are strong teams this year.
Yeah, so. I think Mount Air was ranked just a little bit above Riverside. So
Riverside
a little bit of an upset, I think.
There you go. The Bulldogs and the Raiders.
Raiders.
Yep. All right. There you go. Well, what an exciting weekend. So are you a football fan?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you moved into the house. Life is good, Rachel.
Good.
I mean, what more can
the
you ask for?
Yeah,
so
the weather's beautiful. It's great.
All right. So building rural wealth, what to consider when selling land and equipment? You're going to have to set me up for this, Dan.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, of course, we work with people all over the country. And, you know, of course, this is an agricultural area. And
sure.
So we're going to talk a little bit about farmers' retirements. You know, think about what they should think about when it is time to consider selling land and equipment for retirement. You know, a lot of folks, if you don't own your own business or your farm, you know, retirement's about a 401k plan or a pension. But for farmers, you know, the farm itself is the retirement account. I mean, that is where, you know, the land, the tractors, the combine, the livestock, you know, I mean, all those things, that is the tools that, you know, a farmer, of course, has to use for planning retirement. And that makes planning a lot more complex and very personal because usually or oftentimes, families involved as well. So, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to walk through some of the key things to think about, you know, as you think about a farmer's retirement.
All right. Well, let's start first with the timing of the sale and when's the right time to do that. Talk to me about that a little bit, Dan.
You know, it's really interesting, Aaron. I mean, this is a conversation that we have with a lot of people. And, you know, land and equipment, of course, you know, they don't sell, you know, you can't just go out and just sell them like you can shares of mutual funds or stocks, you know.
You can't just execute a trade.
No, I mean, there is a ready market all the time of some kind, but, you know, you want to do it when the market's good for those things as well. You know, and some of the considerations, of course, when it comes to selling land, you know, and again, there's always a market for land. But we know it's not an asset, again, that you can just say, hey, I'm going to sell it today. Boom, it's gone. You know,
right.
It just doesn't work that way. You know, so what are some of the considerations? You know, I mean, maybe neighboring farmers are looking to expand. You know, what are the commodity price cycles? You know, are they driving the land values up or down right now? You know, those are things to think about. You know, and when it comes to equipment, of course, there's lots of things to think about. You know, oftentimes there is a pretty good demand for certain pieces of equipment, like right before harvest, like right now, or maybe before planting, things like that. Newer equipment, of course, we know sells quicker and is in demand. And, of course, you know, Aaron, if you've seen any of the prices of this new equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is unbelievable.
Staggering.
I mean, it's staggering.
It's staggering.
It is staggering, you know, what, you know, a combined or a, you know, or a big tractor. You know,
beanhead.
Yeah,
What a beanhead costs.
Yeah, that's what is really interesting when you look at a single piece of equipment that isn't even motorized.
Yeah,
you know, has to be attached to something else, can be $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about that. So, you know, it's all about when it comes to that. You know, timing that sale is often very, very important to consider, and something that you know farmers have to think about and, you know, have to look at those cycles and take those considerations into account.
All right. One thing that always, it seems like every topic we get into, taxes play a role in almost every single topic. So let's talk about taxes and then proceeds, Rachel.
Yep,
help me out with that.
That's right. So one thing to keep in mind is the capital gains on land. So land oftentimes, almost always appreciates quite significantly.
Sure.
So, which is a good thing when you go to sell your land, but
sure.
A lot of times people are surprised that Uncle Sam is going to take that cut too on the land with the capital gains. So that can trigger a pretty big tax bill when that time comes. And then on top of that, talking about equipment, there is a thing called depreciation recapture. So if you're familiar with, you know, that the depreciation on your taxes over time on that equipment, the IRS is going to want some of that back when you go to sell the equipment. So, you know, you get to write that cost off over the years to reduce your tax bill over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to offload that, they do want some of that back.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And that's called, what's that called? The
depreciation recapture.
Okay.
So basically they want some of that tax break back when you go to offload that equipment.
Okay.
So that's...
Rachel, that's if you sell, correct me if I'm wrong, if you sell before it's fully depreciated, correct?
Correct. And it all depends on what you sell it for and in the value of the equipment at the time of the sale. So you can have fully depreciated equipment you've had for, you know, a long time, and then it's not as valuable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There are always some details there to get into.
Yeah,
always some details.
And there's always, you know, each situation is unique as well, and timing is another factor on that, like Dan had mentioned, for sure. You know, so that's something to keep in mind with when you're transferring those assets. There's always that tax piece in there for sure. So, you know, it's not just about how much you're selling the land and equipment for. It's how much you're going to keep after you pay those taxes.
Okay. All right. So once we sell the farm and we sell the equipment, Dan, and I'm out of a job, so there's going to be the issue of income. What are we looking at here on the side of for farmers?
Well, you know, income replacement is a big deal. And one of the things that goes along with what Rachel was talking about is, you know, some of the tools that people use sometimes to help spread out those expenses can also be income. And that's like an installment sale, you know, to spread, you know, the sale over time. Well, that installment sale can help your income once you retire and also help spread the taxes out as well. You know, and then also once you have sold those assets, like you said, what are you going to do with that money?
Right.
You know, and this is something that we talk with people all the time, you know, because now you have the, you know, well, of course, this is where it oftentimes makes sense to look at, you know, income replacement tools, try to grow that money, you know, reinvesting the proceeds into something that will, you know, create some monthly income streams, you know, using those proceeds to supplement, you know, other income that you may have. Oftentimes, of course, folks maybe keep the land if they've sold their equipment. They're keeping the land. They're renting out the, you know, and they're going to get crop share rent or they're right. going to get cash rent.
Sure.
So, you know, those questions are big ones that really need to be considered with your financial advisor and with your tax professional. You know, how do I establish those income streams, you know, to match A, what I want to do, B, not have Uncle Sam be any bigger partner than he has to be.
Yep.
You know,
he's going to be a partner.
He's going to be a partner, but you want him to be a minority partner as much as possible.
So, Dan, and with that, you know, we could potentially be talking about a pretty good chunk of money here with selling the farm and that equipment. So it is important to talk to your tax professional and your financial advisor to make sure you do that in a way that makes sense. Like, because you could have, we're talking pretty big dollars.
Absolutely. And, you know, have those talks before the sale.
Yes.
Before the, I mean, absolutely afterwards as well, but yeah, try to do the planning ahead of time.
Yeah. All right. One of the other things that we talk about frequently is succession plan for business, but you have family and you got succession plan to the farm. What do we need to be considering there, Rachel?
Yeah, that's a good point because many farmers, they want to keep the farm in the family.
Yeah.
So that adds a whole nother dynamic to the situation. So it's not just a business decision. There's family involved. That's your legacy. So passing the farm on to the next generation can be a pretty meaningful time. But also there's those emotions wrapped up into it too. So there's kind of that extra dynamic there. So, you know, you can sell to children over time with buyouts, like Dan had mentioned, installment sales that can kind of help on both sides with that income stream after retirement. And then also for that next generation to be able to, you know, afford the buyout over time. And to point out again, renting the land, you can see it both ways. Sometimes, you know, the generation will just rent the land to their children, and that kind of makes that transition a little bit smoother, especially if you've got multiple children, and then that kind of adds a whole another layer to it. If let's say you have multiple children and one wants to farm and the others don't, well, how do you kind of, you know, divvy that up and keep it fair for everybody? Because I know that's an important piece too.
Yes, that takes a lot of conversation as well.
Very much so. Yes. And we've seen it, you know, families have a well laid out plan and everybody kind of agrees and it can go smoothly. And other times it can create, you know, a rift in the family. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure. So, again, start that conversation, like Dan said, early, rather, you know, maybe well in advance of that whole retirement age that you're looking forward to. So what about legal issues and that sort of thing, Dan? What do we think? Because again, we're going to get into some legal issues here. What do we need to think about that?
Oh, absolutely. Now, of course, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to give any legal advice here, of course. But, you know, how your assets are titled, you know, is very important. You know, are they titled individually, an LLC, through a corporation, you know? And then also, like Rachel just mentioned about the installment sales and things like that, are you going to do lease to buy? Are you going to do outright sales, you know? There has to be clear agreements for everyone and to protect everyone, you know, both the party that's selling plus the party that's purchasing, you know, and it really doesn't matter if it's family or not in those instances. You know, you need to have the correct paperwork, the correct, you know, documents and legal structure set up, you know, so then that again goes to the importance of working with a qualified attorney, you know, working with a financial advisor, a tax professional, CPA, whoever you need to work with to make sure you get it set up right. I mean, and oftentimes I know I see families that go, you know, they bought pieces of equipment together, you know, dad and the son years ago, whatever, or two brothers bought stuff or whatever, you know. Well, now it's time to get out of the business. Well, who does really own that? Oh, I don't remember. Oh, you've been using it,
right,
you know.
Right.
And so it just to avoid those family rifts, like Rachel mentioned, you know, you need to have things in writing and make sure you get it correct. I mean, it's worth the time because we've all seen those times when things went sideways.
Absolutely. Building Rural Wealth, Milestone Financial with us, Farmer's Retirement, What to Consider When Selling Land and Equipment. Okay, you kind of touched on it just a little bit there, and Rachel did as well. Emotional portion of it, which is huge when you're talking about the family farm, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of others that tie into that. But then also the lifestyle side of things as well. Rachel, what are the considerations there you look at?
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, farming is more than a job.
Yes.
Right? That's your identity. You know, you're not retiring from a 9-to-5. You're stepping away from something that's been a part of who you are and probably since childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to consider, do you want to stay living on the land? You know, a lot of retired farmers will just keep that homestead and maybe rent out that land. And also we see a lot where they'll maybe stick around and help with harvest sometimes, mm-hmm. just to kind of stay in that mm-hmm. farming lifestyle should you choose to do that. So there's a little bit more to think about than just, you know, like I said, retiring from that 9-to-5 job, whether you still want to be partially involved. And you know, still get in that combine here and there, you know, that's one way to kind of ease out of it too, instead of just kind of like cutting out and then completely, you know, walking away from that lifestyle. Like I right. said, you probably been in since you were a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's more than just about the numbers, you know, you got to picture what your life looks like after farming.
There's just a lot to consider there from many times when you retire, there's a big shift whatever you're doing when you retire. You add into it the component that it's a family farm, you add into it that it's many times family, you know, generation to generation. There's just a whole lot to consider.
Off farm heirs,
wow.
there is in-laws now that are part of the picture, you know, mm-hmm. in other words, you've got, you know, the son or the daughter's, you know, married, yep. and there's you know, extended family now, and like I said, there's family dynamics.
That can be. Maybe,
I mean, that is
that can
such
be a tricky
a big
one there.
Part of it. Yeah. And Aaron, the other side of it is, you know, we're talking real money.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, it used to be, you know, the family farm was 80 acres and a couple little tractors and some stuff, and they made a living. But now we're talking about thousands of acres and millions of dollars of land and equipment.
Well, you can get into tens of millions.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you look at the price of farmland.
Yeah. So you're talking, you know, I mean, you're talking real money,
yeah.
you know, and it, you know, with anybody considerations, I mean, and so it's got to be done. So, I mean, you know, selling that land and equipment, I mean, it's both a financial and emotional, personal decisions, you know, so some of the takeaways today, hopefully that, you know, we've emphasized is you got to talk to somebody. You know, I mean, talk to your family first, of course, you know, and then, you know, start mapping out what you want to do, you know, talk to your kids that, you know, the on-farm kids that are there and also the off-farm ones, you know, communicate,
mm-hmm.
communicate, and then also work with professionals, work with your tax person, work with your attorney, work with your financial advisor. You'll be glad you did in the end.
Absolutely. Great information, and I feel like we just barely scratched the surface with what we touched on here today, because every one of those areas that we touched on, you can go deep into every one of those areas, so it's important to have those conversations. Anything else, Dan, Rachel? Anything else we need to touch on there?
I think that's kind of the bulk of it. I mean, like I said, if anybody wants to, you know, of course, everybody knows, I think, that's ever listened to the show is, you know, I come from a rural background.
Mm-hmm.
I've, you know, still involved with our farm down in Missouri. And so, you know, I know farming. I know, you know, the life. I've lived it. And so, you know, and everybody in our firm has some rural roots of some sort. So, you know, if you have questions, if you'd like to visit with us sometime, please give us a call. We'd be happy to see if we can add any value any way we can.
Make it a great day. Nice to see you.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of